We are going to have a handout, which will really just be an outline of the lesson, because the guy covers a lot of things. It's by a guy named Dan Owen, who is with the Paducah Church of Christ, and the Broadway Church of Christ in Paducah, Kentucky. And actually, it's a series that Christopher, my co-worker, found, and it's really good, I think. It's something I think every Christian, every Christian should see this, I think. And if you don't like it, you'll get double your money back. But I think it's something that every Christian ought to see. Probably within the first year or two of becoming a Christian, but I got a lot out of it. And so I think it's good. But like I said, if you don't like it, you'll get your money back. They are on YouTube. So what we're going to do is watch this. They roughly vary in time, roughly half an hour. This is an outline because it covers a lot of things. And then we'll have discussion. The reason I think this is really important is in today's world, there's just all kind of places you can go to an assembly or a church building, and people have all kind of expectations of mostly to get what I want to get. And their expectations are wrong, and so they don't get what they want, and they go somewhere else looking for something. And often it is that emotional kind of experience, and that's even more popular, I think, in today's world than it's ever been. And then secondly, the idea of they're there. Now, we do get something out of it. He said that. But the primary purpose is for me to be there to present myself being ready. And I know there's times I've just shown up and expecting something good to happen, but I wasn't really ready mentally. And I bet I'm probably not the only person that's had that experience. So you need to really think about, what am I here for? And he's going to get more in the New Testament later. There's six lessons. There is the up on top is the link. And if you're watching this and you want this handout sheet, which is just an outline of what he said, email me at garywider@gmail.com, and I'll email you the lesson that we're reviewing now. But anyhow, so, you know, I know I've done that, and you might have done that as well. And so people come, and they don't like the sermon, or they don't like the singing's not emotional enough, or all kind of things. And they're really missing the whole point of what it's all about. And that's our fault, and that we're not explaining it to them. And this is something I wish I would have heard in the first year or two, and maybe I did, I don't remember, of becoming a Christian. But even now, there's things in the six lessons that I've seen that I think are really beneficial. And that hopefully then we can become equipped when we have people come and they, well, blah, 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 that was whatever, explain what the Bible has to say about it. And I think he does a good job with that. He the three main things in this lesson, he goes on and this is your outline thing, and I want to get some, we'll do some looking at Scripture, and then I want you to talk. The three main goals he has here is worship entails a gift we bring to God. That's his one point. Worship is a calling out to God, and then worship is something we send up to God. And he's kind of basing the series on the situation in Acts 17. Paul is at the Areopagus in Athens, okay? And let me just turn there. And, of course, those are people that are looking for some extra word of wisdom or knowledge or something like that, and looking for something new, something different. We have folks like that today. And in 17:22, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase. I perceive that you're very religious, okay? I'm going to talk about this unknown God. And then in 24, the God who made the world, I'm reading from the English Standard, and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hand. So, you know, what are you expecting to go or be or do? Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind and breath, life and breath. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. And then this is at 27, that they should seek God. Okay, that's what he's done. Romans 1 speaks about that. All of nature declares his glory, that people would seek God. And I hope then we want to help people learn how to seek him. And what does that mean? And how to do it properly? And what that really is. And perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he's actually not far from each of us. And in a way he's far, and in a way he's close. And to a lot of people he's very, very far away, because all they see is their pain or their hurt or their problems. And then other people he's near. So anyhow, that's kind of the basis of it. So then he asks these questions, and then we'll try to open it up some more. What is worship? Who do we worship? And how do we worship? Okay, thoughts so far? Thoughts, comments? And I guess I may have to try to repeat what you say, so make it simple.
I can't save you. You can't save me in the same way in worship. God expects me personally to worship him as well as collectively.
Okay, so it is a personal, I'm just repeating, maybe you can hear, pretty good microphone. It is a personal thing we do, and yet he will talk. It is a collective thing that we do as well. He's emphasizing more in this one, the personal part, that if y'all are doing it, but I'm not there mentally, and then I'm not worshiping. So we do it individually, but then we come together collectively. And he brings out, I think, what do y'all think of the thing, worship is not the assembly? That's a powerful statement.
But it also means you can worship anywhere.
Okay.
By yourself, with a group of two or three, or an assembly of 300.
Okay. So there is a, and we'll, the other lessons will deal more with it. There isn't a personal aspect to worship that can be in another place, and we're not saying it's okay for you to go fishing on the lake Sunday instead of being here, but it's not dependent on this building for sure, okay? And so that's one aspect of it. You said something else, Jeannie and I.
Well, you can also worship with a small group, like two or three people, or 300.
Yeah. So it's not dependent on the size as well, okay? That's good, Mary.
One thing that struck me was trying to visualize personally that my gratitude is a gift. My praise is a gift. When you give a gift, sometimes you're thinking something physical. I mean, you can do something physical for someone and that be worship, but the attitude when we are, when we worship together in the corporate worship, and it's more passive. Those passive things can be your incense and so on, but it's mentally thinking that it is there.
Okay, let's develop that a bit more, because that's a really good point. So there's a mental attitude of preparedness of heart and mind that needs to be there. I find myself, it's easy to be distracted. And the Buddhists say that we have a monkey brain. We jump here and there, and our mind can go all kind of places. And I think that's kind of true. And so having that focused mindset is a challenge. But that's a real key to it.
We all have ADHD.
Yeah. I prefer, it's just me, to sit closer to the front. I'm not distracted by other people that I see and the things they do. So that's just me.
Coming in late and when you started worship and sit down in the front, they're interrupting. You're already in the clear. And I think you're going to come in late to sit in the back.
They
can't. And I'm guilty of sometimes doing that because I'm looking for a place that's not too close to anybody. But, I mean, recently I was totally into it and I didn't even see this person. Yeah, they had the get my attention, which of course was not where I was. I mean, I was and moves of the video.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just takes planning ahead. All of us to
be prepared. Yeah. So having the mental set, the set of the mind, set of the heart to come here, what am I here for, really? And of course, we visit a lot, and that's cool. We haven't seen people in a while. And there's a time and place for the fellowship as aspect of it.
Not just going through the motion.
Yeah, another thing he emphasizes is that, and this certainly happened in the later prophets. John Bell did a really good study on that and the other just a couple months ago. In the prophets, they were given the sacrifices, but God said, I don't even want that, because the problem was their behaviors and their attitudes behind it, which just made it all hypocrisy. So just, I brought a big check, so now I can take a nap and think about the Packers playing this afternoon. That don't cut it. So it's the mindset and even the lifestyle behind it. An example of that, he's going to have a whole thing on communion, but just jump ahead a little bit. It talks about Corinthians that we judge ourselves. So having the mindset rather than just, I took my cracker. I think Ron and then Becky. Ron, do you have your hand up?
I was just going to add to what Judy had said a little bit before about us being into our worship. My experience has been I have yet to be at a perfect quote-unquote perfect worship assembly. A baby is going to cry, somebody's going to drop a book, but instead of letting that distract me, I incorporate it. For example, if I hear an ambulance coming down Northwest 8th Avenue, I incorporate that into asking God's protective care over whoever's being impacted by those things. Or if I hear a baby crying, I'm praising God that we have families in our church, moms and dads, who want their little ones to grow up in the Lord. So indeed, attitude is as much as the environment, it seems to me.
That's a really good point. I think most people get here, but you think of an ambulance going by, quick prayer. So it's not having to be so mechanical that, oh, shut that kid up, or what's that racket I can't hear, but being aware enough in the present, having the mind of prayer and the mind of thoughtfulness and the mind. I mean, Jesus' ministry is mostly distractions. Yeah. He's going about doing something, and people come up bugging him, and the disciples want to shoo him away, but an awful lot of the ministry, he's distracted. Somebody comes up and interrupts, and life is full of interruptions. But if we have the right mindset, that can turn into something meaningful and pleasing to God.
Can enhance our worship rather than detract from our worship.
Can enhance rather than detract. Good point. Miss Becky.
When I find my mind bouncing where it doesn't need to be during a worship assembly, I find that if I just stop for a minute and pray, ask God to help me, to concentrate on what's happening here, he does. But I think what I need to do is to start that prayer before I leave the house. So that I'm already there when I come and sit down.
All right, being prepared even before we come, and then if we are distracted, Becky said, a quick prayer often can get us back on track. Used to be growing up that the idea was that Saturday night you didn't stay out too late so that you wouldn't be so sleepy for Sunday morning. So the preparation for Sunday and you know, tradition, but the cooking was all done. Of course, you know, the Sabbath thing was different. Cooking was all done on Saturday, so we weren't all busy worrying about that. We used to go to the Catholic services in Atlanta for who came Christians, and boy, as soon as you got the door, they're going to run you over to get to Morrison's first. You know, that was... They punched their clock, they did their time, and phew, they're gone. Here we sit and yak and visit and all that. So having that prepared thing, it really starts way ahead of time. And I know I've been guilty of not doing that often. Just sometimes show up, sometimes you're tired. But then, even then, ask the Lord, and God answers prayer, Lord, help me to have the mindset that would please you. Very simple prayer. And he'll help you with that. Good points. And other thoughts, what you're doing too, is giving practical suggestions of how we can do this thing that he wants us to do. Because God doesn't want vain worship or real words. Miss Cindy.
I think that Paul, in the letter he wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, in the first verse, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. And so if we go in with the mindset of being a living sacrifice, then I think it's easier to worship God.
Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2, being a living sacrifice, which is what Jesus did, and that's what we need to do. When we have that mindset, I'm here to offer myself first and foremost. Not just because I wrote a big check and I'm off the hook, but I offer myself first and foremost, as Christ did.
Right. That goes back to an earlier point. He stayed focused on what he had to do for the Father, with all the distractions.
Yeah. Wow.
He just kept moving forward rather than stopping to allow that.
Yeah. Stay on mission. I always think of the old Star Wars movie. They're coming in the Death Star. And they get these big cannons shooting at them. And then stay on target. And it's so easy to get off target. Thomas, do you have your hand up?
And Jesus remained faithful to the Father. He was humble. He humbled himself to even come down into the flesh for one thing, because he had been with the Father, and he humbled himself. And in like in Isaiah, one of the prophets, you know, during the kings, when Uzziah died, in chapter 6, verse 1 through, you know, that small section in that chapter that we have, he when God had a mission for him, to prophet for, you know, and prophesy and so forth, what was going to happen to the Israelites and Judah in the future. But then there would be a remnant left, you know, later. Well, anyway, he sent a messenger down to him that really surprised him, and he realized that I'm before the Lord, and I'm not worthy to talk to the Lord face to face, you know, in a sense, because my mouth is not pure. I speak words this and that that aren't pure, and my heart's not always pure, and so forth. So we have to be humble and pure, because we who are in the body now have full access to the Father spiritually. We don't have to go through a Levitical priest or someone else, you know, to pray for us in the temple and the so forth. We are the temple.
And
God is in our hearts, and He knows what's in our hearts. And so we need to be humble and not prideful, and be respectful and honor Him and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because it says our. He created us in our image, not my image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were unified in their mission together.
Thank you. One of his future lessons, talking about having a healthy and proper fear. He's going to talk a lot about that, a fear of the Lord, and recognition of who He is, His holiness, our uncleanness. And that's part of that humility that's necessary, because, you know, He is an awesome God. Saved from the flood, they came out, and they saw they were delivered. And so it's that mindset of His greatness and our littleness or smallness in His sight. Chris?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, is humbling ourselves before God. You know, it doesn't say that here, but and the sheet says the four main points, that those are very important points. It's a person reaching out to God, to connect with God, and to find favor with God. And I think a lot of people, the assembly is not worship. I think a lot of people come to the assembly thinking, oh, here I am, I'm worthy of praise and honor because I'm honoring God. And for me, when I reached out to God the most was when I felt the most unworthy about myself, when I needed help in my life the most. And so here I don't know how to put this, but somehow I'm reaching out to God, I'm humbling myself, and to connect with God. Yes, I'm trying to connect with God. And I'm reaching out, and as it says in Acts, seeking God. And it's kind of like me saying, I am unworthy, but yet I'm worthy enough to receive your blessing, but not your praise or your honor. God will not, you know, praise mankind. Look at all the problems we have.
Yep.
And the connection with me to God is through Jesus Christ, you know. So, yeah, and He is definitely our higher power, my higher power. So we are able to receive His blessings. That, you know, that's what I'm offering to God. You know, my respect and my gratitude, and seeking God out or reaching out to God. And now the question is, how do you know if you found Him or not? And the way I can answer that is, well, He's removed certain things from my life which were very, I don't want to say sacrilegious, but, you know, let's just say sinful, okay? And that's how I, because I can see the results of the people that worship God, how they conduct their lives is much better than those who don't have any respect for God. And I just have one question. These words here, Minka, Karav, are they Hebrew?
Yeah. There's some of these, he'll get into some of this.
Would you find them in a Hebrew?
If you have a lexicon. The truo is Greek. I'm terrible at this. Eulogo, Timeo, proskuneo is, those are Greek. Most of these are Hebrew. The last two, doxology and neo, those are Greek. He isn't going to go over all these. So that's why I gave this to you. Chris is a really good point, and see this in Psalm 51. It's in David's brokenness. Sometimes that's when the best worship comes, which goes to Jeannie's point. It may be, you know, after, you know, something's happened in our life or something that, you know, on the side of the road or whatever, you know, that that's when we're really reaching out to God because we truly see our need. And so sometimes coming here, unless we're really prepared, it may not well happen. Let me review a couple of things, and you've got the sheet, but we see in Romans 1 that the exchanging of the glory of God, so here this degradation, and we see that happening, and that's the beginning of a lot of bad things that we see in our world today. He talks about worthy, and he gives scriptures in Revelation, worthy art thou. And that's, you know, the song this is taken from. But we see that in Revelation as they're praising the Lamb, praising Jesus. Jeannie?
Glory is a word I'm sorry to admit, but I don't understand. Glory is a word I don't understand. Glory is a word I don't understand.
To give glory to God, I can give him praise, I can give him honor, I can give him my humbleness. To give him glory, what am I giving? I'll tell you what, read John 17, and I'll give you homework, and see how many times glory is used. How he glorified. And that's more of a question than I think I can answer right now. John 17, the prayer of Jesus, Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer. The four things Chris mentioned that are very important is the time and a place. So they got this gift, the Minka, we see with Cain and Abel. One was pleasing, one was not. Okay? And one was out of disobedience. So it was the mindset behind it. Was obviously at fault. I put in bold, many don't bring anything. They come to get something. And I've been that at times. That I really don't. I just show up thinking I'm supposed to get something. And I like this too, that people, at that time, Genesis 4:26, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then how do they call? And this is going to be kind of a thing he's setting up the rest of the lessons for. What would be then the proper way from the Bible, you know, laying that foundation to call on God, which is kind of Chris touching, how do I know? So you have the experience of changes in our life, but how do we know we're doing that right? And that's going to be in more of the future lessons. And got the incense. Okay, so spirit of man reaching out to us. So God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So we got some more comments.
I just want to address what Jeannie was just saying. The way it was taught to me, this was, my goodness, almost 40 years ago when I was back in Fayetteville. Boasting, yeah, God is sovereign. Yeah, all the power. But I'm emptying myself of pride and I'm bragging. Not that I'm a Florida Gator, not that I'm a Georgia Bulldog, but I'm bragging that I'm a follower or a disciple of Christ. So that's how we boast our glory. Now, I'm going to read John 17, of course, but that's how it was explained and understood to me. When we meet like as an assembly, this is like not a pep rally. This is like a rally point. And then we break it down in our individual group or mission, the other 160 hours or 67 hours, whatever it amounts to. That's when we truly worship.
Romans 12, yeah.
I wanted to say something, too, on that, what Ms. Jean was saying about the glory. Because, you know, me coming up, raised up the church, you know, with my grandmother and stuff, and we did things, and she would always say, well, it's not of your own doing. It's the glory of God that you can do these things, so God gets all the glory. You're not to be glorifying yourself. The glory goes to the Lord, because he's responsible for everything that you're doing.
Bob, you had your hand up. That's a good one, and I'm going to turn a verse on that. Well, Bob, go ahead and say something. You had a question or comment?
Well, various forms of the word. God has glory. We give glory. Glorifying God, from a concept viewpoint, is like taking a song such as Worthy is the Lamb, and you go through the words of the song, and you sing them or you read them, and every line is giving praise to God, Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. And that's giving glory. You're saying, God, you are worthy. We give you glory. We give you honor. We respect and revere you. All of this is giving glory.
Right. Let me read this verse, and it's one you're very familiar with, with both Pearl and Bob written on. Matthew 5:14, following. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, our lifestyle. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand gives the light to all in the house. 16. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, they may see Todd's good works and give glory to Todd, who is in the seat. So they may see our good life and give glory to God the Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
And part of that relates, and it's a big study, it's a great question. Part relates to what Chris said, our life has changed. They see the change in our life, and they say, well, we know that Mary, she was a no-good, dirty, rotten stinker. It had to be God that turned her around. So they end up giving glory to God, even though they're happy for Mary, and she's a lot better neighbor than she used to be. But God gets the glory because they recognize it was his work. So it's the recognizing his work, and then the sacrificial life is part of John 17, and, boy, it's a whole other study. Go ahead, Becky.
We think of glory as having something and giving it away. But when we give God glory, isn't it more acknowledging what he deserves to get from us?
Yeah, think of the song. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And just think of that song, and that's a help as well. And these are concepts, and that's a pretty major, big one throughout the Bible. And so that's why I don't want to make a short thing on that, because that's a really important key thing in the Bible. Our time's wrapping up. Judy? Oh, okay. So you want to continue this, or you want your money back? I've watched this several times, and that's why I gave you the handout. But there is the YouTube link on the first page. If you want me to email, then you can just click on it. But I'll have them for all six of them. But actually, if you go to one on here at the very end, it'll have a thing. You got to do it quick, and it'll go to that. So let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the many wonderful, awesome things that you've done for us. And help us to have that mindset 24/7. We easily get distracted, but I like what Ron said, that whether it's an ambulance, a baby crying, or whatever may be happening, if we're attentive and have the right mindset, Lord, those are opportunities to be praying and talking to you, and that you get the glory out of things and that we be useful. We pray that we use our lives as living sacrifices. We see animals were given, but the best sacrifice was the living sacrifice of Jesus, and that's what he wants of us. So help us to carry that out in our lives this week. And again, we give you praise and glory through Jesus. Amen. So go do it.